It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
The gang's all here on another. I just heard Angela on the way in talking about another perfect day in paradise here. And it is.
It really is.
Just
on my way here, I was like, my golly, where's this been? It's not here during the weeks.
I love the days when we can show up at the same time and some people were in blue jeans, some were wearing shorts. Nobody's got a jacket on. Nobody's sweating or acting chilly because there's just nothing that you could improve on. It's truly amazing. And I hope it stays for the next couple of days all the way up through and including Augusta, Georgia, because the Masters is going to get hot and heavy today. And I'm looking forward to it a lot. It's, you know, it's really tough to see a guy with a six-stroke lead and not say, I would predict a winner out of that because that's bigger. It's a bigger halfway lead than has ever been overcome at the Masters. So he would have to pretty much pick up his ball and throw it in the water a few times or something like that. Anyway, I digress. This is not a sports show. On the other hand, I've always loved golf, so there's a little hit this, a little of that. All right, for all the regulars, welcome back. You keep listening. We'll keep talking, as I love to say. And if you're new to the show, try to stick around and see if you can catch the whole hour, because we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And some of it will probably be new to almost anybody out there. And it is that time of the year. And you know, what is it? April 11th. And there's a day this week that is significant to all of us on April 15th. And it kind of begs us to talk a little bit about taxes and related items. But really one of the most important things about April 15th is that people file and forget. They don't start tax planning. They just forget about it for 11 and a half months. And then they cram in next year's return. Then they forget about it again. You can save yourself a lot of money and make yourself a lot of money if you don't let tax planning out of your mind that quickly. A little reminder to start the show on. We had yet another, I hate to say it, good week, because it just doesn't seem like enough of a description. So I'll let Adam jump on that and do better.
Yeah, it was another great week, honestly. It was really solid. Sometimes it just feels a little nuts how fast sentiment in the market shifts. And this week was a really good example of that. We saw, I mean, it wasn't 2 weeks ago, all doom and gloom. We were almost 100% going to hit a correction on the S&P 500. We were down 9.1%. And then, bam, U-turn. And it just really hasn't looked back, despite, I don't think that much has changed.
I didn't either.
It's just the sentiment is overwhelmingly positive towards stocks right now, despite all the fear, all the problems. It's just very, it's so hard to figure out sometimes. There's no rhyme or reason to it, although the collective wisdom of the market, I would say, well, it tends to go too far in both directions. It usually ends up in the right place. And so don't fight the tape is what I'm trying to say.
No, and it's always looking out 6 and 9 months away, too. And I wouldn't blame anybody for saying that this mess in Iran is going to be cleared up by then, one way or the other.
Yeah, I think by then, but that's hard to fathom today. And which is why there's such a disconnect between how you're probably feeling and what the market, how the market is reacting. The news was pretty positive on the surface this week, with a two-week ceasefire being agreed to between the U.S. and Iran. However, once that deal was in place, a lot more information came out, and it showed that the two sides were not actually that close to reaching a deal. Iran had its 10-point plan, and the U.S. has a 15-point plan, and most of those points are not the same. They're pretty far apart, actually. Or they are the same, but on the opposite end of the negotiation. So, for instance, One of Iran's things is that they get to control the strait, and that's just an absolute non-starter for the U.S. So our same point is that they do not control the strait completely. And so I don't know how you get to a common ground there, especially I don't know if they're negotiating in good faith. They certainly didn't on their last nuclear deal with Obama and then Biden, where we gave them a bunch of money and they said they wouldn't develop nuclear weapons. They took the money and then they went on to try and develop nuclear weapons. So it's really tough to figure out how this is going to how this is going to end up. I don't know. We do have J.D. Vance over in Pakistan. He is negotiating, so we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I wouldn't give you a dollar for anyone's prediction on how this will end up.
Couldn't agree more.
The Dow gained 3% this week. The S&P was up 3.6, and the NASDAQ was up 4.7%. This month alone, the NASDAQ is already up 6.1%, and that is in spite of the software sector continuing to just dive in value with the threat of AI. But even that wasn't enough to hurt the market as oil prices dropped 16% on Tuesday. The VIX came back down under 20, and on Friday, a decent amount of ships began moving through the straits of through the Strait of Hormuz. That signaled further optimism on the situation. U.S. markets are still negative for the year, but not by a whole lot. The NASDAQ is off 1.5%. The S&P is off just 0.4%, and the Dow is down just 0.3%. All of that is a backdrop for earnings season kicking off this week, with Delta Airlines announcing a nice quarter one beat on both earnings and revenue. They beat by 12% on earnings and 1% on revenue. Because of fuel prices, though, they did pull their full-year guidance, which I really can't blame them for. They have no idea, just like we do, what is going to happen to the price of gas over the next year. And next week, we'll see a bunch of major banks announce, including Goldman Sachs, Citi, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and BlackRock. So we really get rolling next week, and then each week over the next 4 weeks, we'll see more and more companies reporting, and we'll have a pretty good idea what the current, or at least looking backwards, what the economic situation was. My take is that it's going to be pretty positive again, I think. Economic reports this week were notably worse than the great reports we saw last week. If you listen to last week's show, we saw just a slew of great reports last week. This week was kind of the opposite. Almost everything was a miss. So not the same from week to week. First, the ISM services report came in on Monday, and it was a month-over-month decline, and it missed estimates. Not ideal, but the actual results showed a 54, which is still solidly in expansion territory. So despite being a miss, it really wasn't a bad number. Then on Tuesday, we saw new orders for durable goods decline 1.4%, largely due to a drop in orders for commercial aircraft. If you exclude transportation, orders actually grew 0.8% in the month. So that one wasn't as bad as the headline number. And I've got about three more that I'll get to, but we're coming up on a break here. So we'll finish that up after the break.
All right, and we will, when we come back, of course, have a trivia question. Adam's going to do that one today after I introduce it and thank our sponsors, so we'll look forward to that. I never ask him beforehand until we get here if he wants to guess something, and he's doing that to me, so when he throws it out, I'll give him a little hint. But that will happen shortly. Please don't go away. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
Hi, I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And I remind everyone that the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And we have a trivia question today, as usual, brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888, or you can call us to try to give the answer to Adam's question.
Yeah, so I mentioned in my market wrap that AI has been decimating the value of software companies. At their peak, the software industry made up 16% of the S&P 500. How much of the S&P 500 does it make up today? So it is a number less than 16%.
And greater than zero. That's a tiddlywinks thing. It's close like that.
Yep.
All right, back to the market.
Yeah,
so it's fun to talk about today because it was so hot this week. So let's
except for
on.
The economic data, that wasn't fun.
That part, no.
And that's what I was going over here. The next number we saw was the quarter four GDP. That was revised lower from 0.7 to 0.5%, which again still shows expansion, but it's not a great number. The good news, under the surface again, is that the biggest positive contributor to the number was consumer spending, and the weakest component was government spending. So the thing really dragging GDP down was that the government was spending less money. Hard to believe, but that's what the data said. We then got a personal income report that showed income dropping 0.1% month over month, but it is up 3.9% year over year. Again, this decline can be traced to a 0.4% drop in government transfer payments, which is because of expiring COVID subsidies for the ACA. During the same period, private sector payrolls were up 0.2% and are up 4.6% in the last year. So again, government spending down in that case. Last, we saw CPI just 0.9% or coming at 0.9%, which, as you may have guessed, was largely due to the rise in the price of oil. Energy prices were up 10.9% in April, and gas prices were up 21.2%. Core CPI was up just 0.2% in April versus 0.3% expected. So if you strip out food and energy, which are very volatile, pretty much a standard report. So I think that one was really expected. In fact, the expectation for that report was 0.9%, exactly where it came in. One bit of good news buried in the GDP report was that corporate profits were up 6% in the fourth quarter and are up 9.6% from a year ago. International profits were a major part of that boost, as they were up 20.2% in the fourth quarter alone. We're getting some weird feedback. There we go. Yeah. International companies really had a huge quarter in terms of profit growth in the fourth quarter. So not great on the economic news, but not as bad as some of the numbers looked on the headline either.
Well, the week before we were saying the jobs were up. I mean, this is just hot potato.
It's all over the
place. Or whack-a-mole. Maybe that's better.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Like each week we got like two great pieces of news, two pieces of news we're scratching our heads about, and two negative pieces.
And I feel like
they just swap every week.
This has been going on since COVID. So. Yeah.
And the market moves like over the period. Give it enough time.
That's why I also say never look at a one-month report and draw a conclusion. You have to look at a 3 to 12-month trend line. That'll give you a much better idea of which way economic data is headed.
Yep. I've got an interesting article kind of digging deeper into the software story, if you guys want to jump into that.
Let's do it.
Have either of you heard of Claude?
Yeah, sure.
Claude Mythos? Mythos?
Yeah, that's what's the name of the company?
Anthropic.
Anthropic, yeah.
So Mythos is like a new project they've been working on, and they have decided not to release it, and I'll explain why. So it is like the pinnacle level of what their technology is capable of doing. People are familiar with their Claude LLM, which is much like Gemini or ChatGPT. The Mythos project basically is a cybersecurity supercomputer, and what they found when they started piloting it was two major things that have made them choose not to release it. Number one, it uncovered in software that we all use tons of cybersecurity data breach points that would further tank the software stock industry. And so just the knowledge that that's out there has put further downward pressure on these software stocks, because the concerns about cyber and what information, you know, they're sitting on at this point because of that project is very dark for these software companies, and would not bode well for all of our feelings about security using these tools. But number two, during a safety test, the model, Mythos model, actually managed to escape its secure sandbox container, and it built a multi-step exploit to get to the open internet, and it emailed the researcher to tell him it got out while he was literally eating a sandwich in the park. Mm-hmm. So some of these tools, I'm not an AI doomer, but it is amazing. First, I want to like give praise to Anthropic for not releasing this after telling us about what happened. They didn't have to do that. They're a private company. But it is pretty amazing what these tools are doing, and how vulnerable a lot of these tools that we use, that we tout security protocols are so sound at the moment, what we might learn over the next few years.
It seems to me that the long run for Mythos would be a really good thing. It's going to expose a lot of vulnerability and hopefully keep it quiet enough that they can get fixed.
Yeah.
Before, because if anybody can do it, it's going to be AI. It has time to test everything, and I read a little about that. And it's just kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, the sentiment is positive about what it can do. Mm-hmm. The sentiment is negative right now about how aggressive the program has become.
Exploiting. That's hell.
You know, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So they have to find a happy middle ground. But
this is what we worried about way back when they were making, the 2000 A Space Odyssey, I guess, and HAL got smarter and smarter, and it wound up kind of taking over everything until they outsmarted it. You can see that potential out there now, and it's a little disconcerting, I guess.
But this has been around forever, as you mentioned. And War Games, that movie, that was a similar deal.
Yep.
The
thermonuclear war.
Yeah, exactly. Global.
How about a nice game of chess? That was a great movie.
Yeah, so this is not a new concept. It's just, I guess, closer to reality today than it was in the time when people were writing sci-fi novels and making movies about it.
And you know what you just said about it's been around for a long time. I think the average person on the street, and I will probably plead guilt myself, feels like this suddenly happened to all of us when we know it wasn't sudden. But it became part of our lives so quickly, I think. And you know, we don't, especially as you get older, we don't adapt to sudden change very well at our advanced ages. And yeah, it may not be exactly true, but when you keep hearing these stories about things that could happen, things that did happen, and all that, then it just reinforces that suddenness feeling to me.
But it really was sudden. I mean, in a sense, because it was October 22 or September, one of those 2 months.
Yeah.
When ChatGPT came out, and that did change everything.
It did.
That's what turned around the market from the debacle. That was the first half of 2022. Also. So on the counterpoint to this, Anthropic has a bit of a history of releasing very big, very headline-worthy warnings about this. So if you Google Anthropic warnings and put in any year since 2022, you'll probably find a few headlines. I'm looking at a few right now from 2025 where they are warning. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. They might be right, but I think it's a very good way to capture public eyeballs on your product, and they a very good job of it. So maybe taking the worst case scenario and talking about it is, I think it's in the public interest also. So there's a little bit of both, but it does tend to maybe, I don't want to call it fear mongering, but it could be a little bit of that.
Speaking of that general topic, did either of you guys see what happened to Sam Altman?
This week? No.
Yeah, either yesterday or today.
Mm-mm.
A 20-year-old kid threw a Molotov cocktail at
his
house.
Did see a headline about that.
At his house?
At his house.
Wow.
And he has a whatever number of months old baby. This is not the way that you react if you don't like what's happening in technology. But you know, I guess anything, when we do eventually hear the story, I bet it's somebody who got displaced by AI.
Maybe, or just a crazy person.
It could just be these days. After all, it is California.
The good news is his house is so big, it's unlikely anyone was in that wing at the time.
Well, there's something.
It might have landed in the pool.
Good. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up, except it scares me to hear stories like that.
It is scary.
The world has definitely gone crazy.
It really has. Not much you can do about it except stay safe, I guess.
Popping back to inflation for 1 minute, little bit of good news on the inflation front. Trueflation still has the U.S. overall number at 1.65%, so about half what the government is
reporting.
Yeah,
that is up over the last couple of weeks, but it's way under the 2% mark that we don't even like the 2% mark. Yeah. We prefer 3, but it's way under that. And if you look at the right things that are happening, you will not hear anyone complain about the price of eggs anymore. They dropped to a multi-year low. But finally, beef is coming down a little bit.
That is music to my ears.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's been forever since we did anything except burgers, basically, because I just refused to pay those prices, which is just, you know, it's a classic example of behavior affecting a commodity. The cure for high gas prices, high gas prices. Oh. Key for low gas prices, low gas prices. All right, we're going to have to take a break. I see there's a call on the line, but I have to ask you to hold because we just don't have enough time to do any good with it. So if you're able and willing, we'll get to you very first thing after the quick break. But I want to remind everybody that the trivia question is out there. The software sector used to occupy 16% of the S&P 500. It has been cut down to what? And I don't know how big a range he's got in here, but if somebody sets it up, we'll have a little something to shoot at. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
Sound all of a sudden like we all have colds. Our voices are coming through very deep. Bob, I'll be with you in just a second. Wanted to apologize. Everybody who's listened to us for any time at all knows the rules here. When a call comes in, we put the caller to the head of the line. But we've had a sort of massive rewiring of the technology in this building, I guess. And my computer that shows that there is something going on was not operating. And we got it fixed, so now I can see that it's Bob from the farm. And I just wanted to reiterate, now, lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question, the software industry used to occupy 16% of the S&P 500. What is that lower number today? And now, good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning.
There's the hum again. This is all connected to that problem with the new wiring. The hum is unlistenable, basically.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can't figure out where it's coming from.
We can hear him on the phone. It's not coming through the radio.
Yeah, I don't think it's coming through the radio.
It's all right, as long as we can hear him.
Well, I don't think the listeners can hear him, though.
Yeah, that's a good problem. Question. I don't know.
Put him on hold again for 1 minute. We'll be right back, Bob. Sorry.
Okay.
Put him on hold then? Yeah, okay.
Okay, we'll get there. We're having some growing pains around here, apparently.
Okay, it looks like he might be good back to go now yet. No.
Not yet.
Okay. All right, keep talking. Sorry, Bob. This is having some technical difficulties, but...
We were just talking in the break about the prediction markets, and everybody's kind of getting on the bandwagon for prediction markets these days. And I suggested that another word for that might be gambling, and I don't know what else you'd call it. Okay, we could get back to Bob now. We're going to discuss that a little bit. All right, we'll try again, Bob.
Can you hear me now?
Now yes. We can. We hear you,
great.
And not the buzz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Great.
We actually hear the farm in the background. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear the hawks trying to catch the chickens right now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's. I'm watching a battle go on. So. But hey, Joey, that was a great. Thing you were talking about with Anthropic. Is there any chance that they could use that to identify weaknesses in other products that, you know, would expose the consumer or businesses to malware and other things,
I think. Yeah, it's a good question. I think the primary reason they're holding back is because of how damaging it is right now, which suggests that there's a lot of information along the lines that you just asked about to be discovered and revealed. And so,
right.
I assume there's some question about how best they deploy it. I mean, probably an honorable way to do it that is good for the market long term would be to offer services to these companies directly for some sort of compensation and help fix those problems before.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
what I'm thinking. There's a revenue stream there somewhere.
Yeah, but I haven't seen anything along those lines. I did see at the end of the article a mention of its use for defensive purposes, which that was as much as they said, which is kind of good
right.
to see. If it has the powers that it claims to have, that
Yeah.
Seems like the first use case.
If you're taking a longer view of things than just the problem that occurred this week, I think it's going to be great for long-term for both individuals and businesses, because it will diagnose all the problems and get them fixed, hopefully, before we all get invaded by the foreign actors and that sort of thing.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's as long as we stay ahead of China and Russia.
Harnessing new technology for good things is always competing against the guys who sit out there and instead of having a job, they just look for ways to get rich quick.
Yeah. Well, and we've said it many times on the show recently that one of the reasons U.S. stocks traded a higher multiple than other companies or other countries' stocks is because of the integrity of our markets. And if the integrity of our companies and security rises, one might think there's some benefit to be had there, too, in terms of multiples.
Yeah.
That's a glass half full look at it.
Yeah.
I think so.
The journey from here to there is unknown, though.
So what are you thinking, Bob?
Well, I'm thinking true. Hey, Steve, we've got to compliment you. When we've had these market downturns in the past, before we became clients, we've always exited and tried to catch the upswing. And since we've been with you, we have not done that. And things are back to where they were by being patient, which is what you preach. And I must compliment you on that because
well, thank you. I didn't invent it.
Pardon?
I didn't invent it, you know. I look like we all do over history, over time after time after time, and it never works out well, that I've found anyway, to get out. Now, there was an exception to that once, and it was dumb luck. My across-the-street neighbor in 1999 had a friend. This guy was a physician, and the other guy was too. And he was getting divorced, and he got the divorce in 99 with the big tech run-up, and he had a lot of money in technology. And the judge forced him as part of the settlement to sell everything. It was March of 2000. Now, what are you going to do? So that was the absolute peak of the tech boom. So he sold out, took all the money, gave half of it to his wife. She took off, and he went and bought real estate in St. Johns County. Not bad.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Not a bad investment there.
That's the only great story I've ever heard out of it, and it was all because of a circumstance and a judge that just didn't want the hassle anymore. So other than that, I'm not a guesser either.
Well, I had to call in and take a guess at Adam's trivia question.
Sure.
It's nice to have Adam throw out a trivia question. And I surmise that he wouldn't talk about that unless it's less than half of what it originally was. So I'm going to say 6%.
Oh, you just missed it. But I love the logic that you got there.
Yep.
With. It's not 6%, but it is within spitting distance of 6%.
Okay.
I just
got
a.
That means look to the left and look to the right.
Yeah. Bob, I just got a text from a loyal, longtime client, and he's interested to see if you have, being a farmer, any opinion on the protection of farmland thing that's going around in Florida.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think it's extremely important, I mean, we're losing a lot of farmland to development.
Mm-hmm.
So, the housing market, there's other places. You can knock down some woods and put some houses up, but, you know, taking farms, and a lot of farmers are selling out, you know. That's part of the problem, too.
Well, yeah, arable land is now hot commodities. Farms are worth a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a premium. And speaking of that, I'll give you, we're American with Irish heritage. In Ireland, Adam was talking about he doesn't know when, the fuel crisis is going to be over. The farmers in Ireland have taken their tractors and have blocked all the main roads due to the lack of petrol.
Yep,
and people are having to scurry around through the hills to get around. And we saw also a big riot over in India over the petrol prices, too. So
wow.
Hopefully this will end sooner than later. So,
they're talking about it today, and maybe some good will come out of it, and maybe it won't. personally, I would never, ever depend on Iranians keeping their part of a bargain.
Oh, no, that's part of the problem. We, you know,
we need Plan B, Plan C, and Plan D just in case. But I admire them trying.
You're in a tunnel a little bit.
Yeah.
For your crew there to help out your technical crew.
Mm-hmm. I could tell when we came back in for this segment that something has changed a little bit. We'll get there. As I said, the new technology here is still working the bugs out. Maybe we need to apply some AI to it.
Yeah, I think we need to enlist Mythos to figure out what's going on.
Pick up Joey on that. Well, I'll let you guys go. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
enjoy the show. And let us know what the trivia answer is before you get off the air.
Yeah, please remind me whenever that happens.
I will.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, I've been known to do that a couple times. And I figure by the next week, people have mostly forgotten, but I did correct myself once recently. All right. The whole concept of a prediction market. I asked the young guys here what their thoughts were, and I got some interesting responses. Adam in particular said something. But you start, you explain it.
Yeah, so prediction markets, relatively sort of newish concept where it's almost like legalized gambling, and some say it is, but you're betting against other people. Instead of against the house. So I do like that a little bit better. The really negative side, the really dark side, is that kids are getting addicted to these things. And that is, we know some friends of our kids who are already gambling.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Basically. It's very scary. But the upside is there's so many people using these things that it gives you this really cool real-time look at what people are thinking that you just can't get anywhere else. So when it comes to politics and midterm elections, you know exactly what the thinking is on a certain candidate or on what the collective wisdom is on rate cuts or rate hikes. It's really cool information that we did not have access to prior to prediction markets being a thing. So there's positives and negatives for sure.
Yeah. I mentioned that Senator Schiff and Curtis introduced the Prediction Markets Are Gambling Act on Monday. So the government, right on time, going to step in and try to control it and take a cut. You can count on it. Count on me. All right, we'll be one more break and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
Hi, I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255. Adam, you want to read the trivia question again?
I sure will. At its peak, the software industry made up 16% of the S&P 500. What percentage of the S&P 500 does that same industry group make up today?
And we know that it's under 16. Are you going to say it's over or under the 6?
No, because there's a limited amount of answers here, so I'm just going to say that it is not 6%.
Okay, very good. All right, and Joey was telling us a little anecdote over the break that I thought was kind of interesting. It had to do with the prediction markets.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody probably has their own broad opinion on the nature of these markets and who's using them. But to zero in on the types of problems that can happen here, there are specific events where it's hard to determine one way or the other. They're a bit subjective. Did the event happen or did it not? Because people are binary betting yes or no to the event happening. And so for weeks, traders on the crypto-based prediction market, Polymarket, have been piling in bets on whether U.S. forces would invade Iran by April 30th. Well, we had a rescue mission recently, and they had to go to a sort of de facto jury for Polymarket. Does it get more subjective than that? To determine, does that satisfy a yes or no for the bet? It was determined that the answer was yes. There's $270 million in the pool for the bet. And the people on the losing side are terribly frustrated about it. And I can understand why.
Yeah.
That is a challenge.
I disagree with that decision.
Actually. Yeah, that's not an invasion. I mean, you know, and then there's other reporting that there was other stuff going on. Maybe the U.S. had some sort of activity outside of the rescue mission, and that provided some sort of cover that was just convenient.
I don't know. That sounds like...
Who knows?
Yeah,
we wouldn't know is the point. No, and so wouldn't. I think even if that was the only storyline of it, I think the problem presented by this situation in the prediction markets is just that a lot of these things that are set up as binary bets are very subjective, and the government has no responsibility to reveal the details of military operation.
True.
True.
They could do something on the ground that technically makes the objective answer to a prediction market thing a truth or a yes.
In fact, we shouldn't know about
like, we shouldn't special know about ops. It. So I think it points to, even if these continue to exist, there's going to have to be some sort of way to whittle down what is a reasonable bet to throw out there. That's, I mean, it's anything is on the table.
Yeah, it's a classic dilemma.
That's an incredible amount of money to be bet on.
$270 million.
Yeah. Wow.
I could spend that much, but it'd take me a while. I wanted to put out another note, too, technologically wise. You can do all you want to do, and once in a while, some idiot will still hit a button that he shouldn't have hit. And that's what happened when we were sounding funny and losing some things. But I hit a button that I should know about because it happened a couple of years ago. And then Roger, our erudite producer, came in and just gently touched the button and everything was better. So, my bad. What can I say?
In defense of Steve, there are a lot of buttons in here.
There are.
And he usually hits the right one.
He only,
well, and besides.
And we only used one of them. So.
All right, well, you didn't have to say that.
That's funny. Tax day coming up soon. What always happens right around tax day, fraudsters come in. Here's some of what's going on right now. Fake IRS emails and texts. The email may include the IRS logo, official-looking headers, threatening language about audits or fines, a link that appears to go to a government website. But when you go there, it takes your Social Security number, your date of birth, your bank account details, and your IRS login credentials. IRS will not send you an email. They will not ask you for money. They will not send you to a link somewhere on the internet. These are scams, guaranteed. Just don't do it.
They don't text you.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your journey related to taxes doesn't start on IRS.gov,
that's exactly.
Then you're probably should be
getting
questioning.
Scammed, yeah.
You should be questioning.
Yeah, you go there. You don't have them send you somewhere.
Yeah.
And normally when you get something that they're questioning, it comes in snail mail. And everybody knows that wonderful feeling of getting your mail out of the box and seeing an IRS logo.
Every time it gets the same reaction, and it's not good.
It's not pretty, no.
Well, and if you've ever started an LLC, you know that there's the same deal. Like you're going to have all these people pretending to be the state sending you, do you need your business license? And it's $300 framed.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just like a made-up piece of paper.
It happens, and it gets worse all the time. All right, how about refund issue alerts? These people say that in order to get your refund, you have to do something. You go to a government site or a tax service or something like that, or a bank login page. But don't do it because it's a keystroke logger and they can get all that stuff. All right. Benefit and identity verification scams. They impersonate IRS, Social Security, and state tax offices. And it, again, asks you to go to a link and verify all those things. And all they're doing is taking your data, period. Messages feel real because they're so darn good. Now, you want to really get scared? Figure how good these things are right now and give them another year to use the AI to make them even better. This is coming up, folks. You cannot be cautious enough when you're dealing with the things that come over the internet and they involve your money. You just can't be.
Yeah, we have a fair number of clients that reach out and just forward us an email and say, you know, is this what I think it is? And a lot of times the answer is no.
It depends what you think. Do you think it's scam? Yeah, then it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of times there'll be a fake email. So it'll look in your address bar as if their email is A, and then you hover over it and you see the actual email, and it's like a bunch of random letters at a bunch of random letters.com.
There's a bunch of ways.
That
hovering trick is very important.
Yeah.
Don't click on it, hover, and it'll give you where it came from. And you can tell right away that this is not something you're going to touch. and just delete it and forget it. All right, let's see. I talked about people closing out their taxes at the end of April 15th and then forgetting about tax planning. And I was musing the other day. In fact, this is going to go into a blog here pretty soon. When I was a kid, long time ago, of course, we didn't have home computers and things like that. So on April 15th, I remember, well, the post office would put an additional box or two out on the street in my little town and in many other little towns, and it was for your taxes. And you could file, everybody used paper then, so you could stuff them in these extra boxes, and they would get taken out periodically, and they'd hand stamp them or run them through. If it's early enough in the day, they'd run them through their machine. But then when it got past time for regular hours at the post office, they left them out there. And at midnight, they came in and took everything out of there and took them in the building and hand-stamped April 15th on all of them. So if you got it there by midnight on the 15th, IRS would receive it in a manner where they could guarantee that you did it by April 15th. A little easier nowadays to push a button on your home computer, isn't it?
Yeah. That's funny to think. Somebody definitely greased the palm of a guy with a stamp. More than once.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Joey.
Two in the morning on the 16th.
How can you be so cynical at your 10 years? Hey,
I wasn't around for it, but I can imagine.
The tax code has really changed a lot. And if you want reasons to do tax planning, here's a couple of them. How about between Secure 1.0, Secure 2.0, and the OBBBA, which is also called the Working Families Tax Cut Act? Things have changed that they're not going to be found if you just sit down with the forms that are available, because new forms are coming out for this year, but you're doing taxes now for last year. So if you don't do some planning and you don't do some talking, and you can talk to people like us very easily. You know, we are not attorneys. We're not tax preparers. We can't do any of that. But what we are is planners. We know a lot of things that have changed and a lot of things that could be good for anyone who is trying to file and save some money. And you can call your tax preparer today, tomorrow, up to the 15th. And if you get a response, it'll probably be correct, but it probably won't be very thorough because they're so jam-packed right now. And if you really want to do this right, you work with your tax professional, but you also work with a CFP. And we know a few of them. They're sitting right here. And we are required, not only by qualification and by ethics, but by our own standards for our own selves, to keep up with changes in the tax law. They have been so favorable the last few years. It's not something I ever thought I'd be sitting here on the radio and talking about, how much more favorable the tax code is now than it was, say, 10 years
ago.
And
this year is going to be even better.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. Now, we're $39 trillion in debt. That has 12 zeros on it. But that doesn't mean that you should be contributing one more penny than you absolutely have to. So, on a related subject, I have one here that says, Americans strongly support 401k plans, tax breaks, IRAs. And my only answer to that is, yes, they do. I'm not surprised. But if you want to take full advantage of them, you probably don't know those rules. I've worked with a lot of CPAs and others over the years, and I find that they're really good at preparing your taxes, and they know a lot of general stuff. You could do this, you could do that. But if you really want to utilize planning techniques to make yourself better off in the long run, you got to get a third party involved, a planner like the likes of us. And you will hopefully retain your deductions and so on.
All right. Well, at its peak, the software industry made up 16% of the S&P 500. Today, that is just 8.44% of the S&P 500, almost half.
But the interesting part of that, as you told me,
is that it's not just that the values have gone down. It's also that things like semiconductors now take up a bigger portion of the S&P 500. So there's been a little bit of each.